is Thursday.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Beautiful morning, isn't it?
Still a bit early.
When are you gonna wake up?
Be extremely careful what you say. I haven't had my coffee yet, and I'm in no mood for stupid, irresponsible remarks.
What's the matter with everybody? Everybody's so grumpy every morning around here.
It's Thursday.
This seems like a good bit of fun.
Throw the switch.
We gotta go, go, go!
Let's go!
Show must go on, right?
Go, go!
It's showtime.
Boston's greatest hits.
105.7 WROR.
Here's Lauren and Wally.
Good morning, and welcome, everybody. The Lauren and Wally Morning Show is on the air here for you all. It's Thursday morning. Is everyone well this morning?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be nice out today. It's going to be freezing tomorrow, but
I know.
Excited
this is crazy.
About that.
Okay, yeah. By the way, it's going to be cloudy this morning. We're going to get some peaks of sunshine this afternoon. It's going to be in the mid-70s. And then tomorrow, it's only going to be like the low 50s for the high tomorrow.
I don't mean to state the obvious, but this weather is really weird,
it is
right?
A little bit on the weird side.
I think more people should be panicking.
Okay. Okay.
We do have that trouble on the Mass Pike east and westbound.
Yeah, bring us up to speed. What's going on there?
Jackknife tractor trailer coming off the Mass Pike heading east or westbound, right at the interchange out in Weston.
Yep.
The ramp to 128 North is blocked off because a fruit truck jackknife.
Oh, really?
There's fruit on the ground.
At least it's healthy.
It is healthy. The ramp to 128 South is open, but they're still clearing it up, so there's a delay. And 128 North on the... Your 128 North, the ramp to the Mass Pike is shut down as well.
Oh, this is going to be a mess.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll keep you posted through the morning here. Other things we have coming up in the program today. We have found the true meaning to true happiness. The one thing you can do for true happiness. We're going to share that with you this morning. Important news for those of you who love spray cheese. Very key information. If you
really?
Are a big fan of spray cheese,
okay.
Coming to the program this morning. We now know the solution to the great Yanni and Laurel debate.
We do.
We know exactly what causes the problem. It's not really a problem.
Okay.
And we know technically who's right. Okay, so if you're having the debate, we know technically who is correct. And we'll
my wife actually hadn't heard about it. When I told her about it, she thought there was something wrong with her. She was like getting upset.
You could have messed with her. You didn't take that opportunity.
Which one did she hear?
No, she heard Yanni all the way.
Oh, I heard Yanni all the way.
And I kept saying, you heard Yanni?
I know.
Is there something wrong with me? Is there something wrong with people who hear Yanni? Like, do I have a brain tumor?
Either hear it or you don't. Okay,
oh my God.
So we got that coming. Okay, now we got game number 3 against Cleveland coming up Saturday. We're going to talk to Bob Ryan. We all believe that it's key that we steal a game in Cleveland. So we'll talk to Bob Ryan.
I want to ask Bob, like, how the heck they have managed to be 2-0 and if they can keep it going.
Yeah, okay, that's coming up 7:25 this morning and coming up in just 10 minutes. Win a grand in 60 seconds right here, WROR.
105.7 WROR. The Lauren and Wally Show. This is Grand in 60 Seconds.
It appears to be that everyone is ready. All is in readiness to play Win a Grand in 60 Seconds, the game. And this is where it really gets tough. But first, we must meet our player today. Her name is Liz Milch. And Liz Milch is a trained professional in the, she's in the Witness Protection Program, so we can't mention anything other than that. Good morning, Liz. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. From Weymouth, Massachusetts. And
right.
Liz is a person who knows a lot about a lot of things. Right, Liz?
Yes, I have a lot of useless information in my brain.
Okay, good for you. Your job is to use that information now, because here's what's going to happen. You know the drill, Liz. LBF is going to ask you 10 questions within a one-minute time span. You'll hear the ticking in the background. You answer these questions as quickly as you possibly can. If you come to one you don't know the answer, don't waste any time. Just say pass, move on. We come back if we have time at the end. You pick up those that you missed, and if you get all 10 right in 60 seconds, we give you a $1,000 bill. You ready to do this?
I am.
LBF, are you prepared?
I'm prepared.
Ladies and gentlemen, here we go. 3, 2, 1, go.
Whose face was said to have launched 1,000 ships?
I don't know, pass.
In the traditional rhyme, how many mice were blind?
3.
In nautical terms, what is the opposite of port?
Starboard.
Who sang about being an eggman and a walrus?
The Beatles.
What is 1/4 of 1,000?
250.
In J.M. Barrie's novel, where did the Lost Boys live?
Pass.
In women's gymnastics, what is approximately 16.4 inches long?
The balance beam.
What color is the circle on the Japanese national flag?
Red.
What was the Hunchback of Notre Dame's name?
Quasimodo.
A phlebotomist extracts what from the human body?
brain.
Okay, what was whose face was said to have launched 1,000 ships?
Lady Liberty, Statue of Liberty.
You did so well.
Pretty well.
Yeah.
Seven.
Helen of Troy. That's who launched 1,000 ships.
Oh, yeah.
And then Neverland was where the Lost Boys lived. I could sing it for you. There's a couple of names. But and blood is what a phlebotomist distracts from the human body. But I like how you think. Brain sounds a little
good
bit
idea.
Scarier.
You were thinking more about the well, never mind. Let's go ahead and give you a great prize this morning. This is your consolation prize. First of all, we're going to change your oil. One free oil change. VIP tire service, $59.99 value, redeemable any location, Massachusetts, New Hampshire. Visit a VIPauto.com, get all the details. Plus, we're going to send you out to the movies. You get to see Melissa McCarthy in Life of the Party. Did you see her on the cover of People Magazine?
Yeah, you know what? I did see her on the cover of People Magazine.
Hey, girlfriend, you had some work done.
No, I disagreed wholeheartedly. I thought she just looked really good. You're so crazy. Critical.
Perhaps. Okay. So listen, thanks for playing the game and have a great day today. Get that oil changed and enjoy the movie, okay?
Okay.
Okay, take care now. Everybody else, if you want to play, you can't play if you don't enter, so log on to WRR.com and get your entry in.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
Here we go, everybody. 6:20, time for your Men for Maine episode.
Welcome to another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. As today's action-packed drama begins, Effie visits Doc Sider's office with a private conversation in mind. And we hear...
So, Effie, what seems to be the problem?
Well, Doc, it's sort of an embarrassing thing, and I'm hesitant to talk about
it. Oh, that's okay. I've heard it all. Tell me all about it.
Well, it seems that when Ephus and I are home alone at night, and that special moment happens, and things lead up...
Oh, yes, I understand.
One thing leads to another, and just as that very special time happens, he lets out this horrible scream.
Well, Effie, I wouldn't worry about that. A lot of men have that reaction when reaching that special magical moment.
Oh, but you don't seem to understand, Doc Sider.
Well, why does it bother you so much, Effie?
Because he's in the bathroom.
Join us again, Susan, for another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. Right here on the Lorne and Wally Morning Show.
105.7 WROR. This is the Lauren and Wally Show.
Okay, 105.7 WRR. Morning, this is the Lauren and Wally Morning Show. Okay, so yesterday this was all over the interweb here. It just blew up the interweb. And it's all about the people hear different things with the same thing, from the same thing, the Yanni and Laurel debate.
Laurel, Yanni, Yanni, okay. Laurel. Jimmy Kimmel had this to say about it last night.
Laurel. Okay, so how many of you heard Laurel? Okay. And how many heard Yanni? Okay, so I'm how this has forever divided our world. But whether you hear Laurel or Yanni, there's one thing I think we can all agree on. Nothing has ever mattered less than this.
I don't think
right
that's
at the
true.
Bottom of the thing.
I think that it's really a big metaphor, and we can all learn from it, which
it's
is
a metaphor for
we
life.
We think we're hearing the same thing, but we're not. We're not, and that's crazy, and my mind is blown.
Okay, so now how did this whole thing get started? It all started with a girl in school.
High school girl in Georgia was doing like a vocabulary literature exercise, and she had to look up the word Laurel. And so she was looking it up to do the report, and she went on vocabulary.com to see what the correct pronunciation was. And as she heard it, she looked up, it says Laurel, and she clicked on it, and she heard Yanny.
Yep.
So she shared it with some of her friends on Instagram.
Yep.
Another friend picked up on it, and he started a poll. What did you hear? And he linked it to vocabulary.com. And that's how it just exploded.
And I'm the only one in the TV show.
I'm the only one in this room that hears Yanni. You guys all hear Lowell.
Yeah, so we're regular. And you're
my wife last night in bed, I asked her. She hadn't heard about it, so I played her the clip. She said, oh, that's Yanni.
Okay.
Said, you heard Yanni? What? She thought there was something wrong with her that she didn't hear Laurel.
There is.
So now the question is, which one is really correct? Okay, we have the answer. We know which one is correct. Realistically and technically are two different things. Technically,
I know that joke.
Technically, technically, Laurel is correct because she was looking up the word Laurel, okay?
Right.
But that realistically, either one is correct because there are four things involved, according to scientists. Now, I can't believe how people have, you know, you know, gotten involved in this.
Now, it's a phenomenon.
The scientific community is now saying, realistically, either one is correct because of four different factors. Factor number one has to do with how the audio was recorded. Factor number two on how your speakers play it back. Factor number three, what you're expecting to hear. And number four, which frequencies your brain zero in on. So it depends on what your brain, how your brain interprets the sound. Younger people tend to hear higher frequencies better than older people do, so younger people are more likely to hear Yanni instead of Laurel.
Well, that doesn't explain anything in this room.
It doesn't, no. Yes, that but that's no scientific. Face, yeah.
But, you know, it's pretty much that way in all of life. For example, right here.
Which word do you hear?
Lauren. Lauren. Wally. Wally.
105.7 WROR, Boston's greatest hits.
Okay, so have you given any thought? When is the last time? Can you remember the last time you climbed a tree? Okay,
I don't think I've ever climbed a tree.
Never climbed a tree.
No, that's dangerous. Okay.
So the deal is, the lady who, up in Saugus, she's taking a walk with her dog, and she's being tracked by four coyotes, pack of coyotes, see? So she freaks out.
Rightfully so.
And so she climbs a tree. And there's a great picture of, she takes a picture of her dog while she's up in the tree, but the dog down there, the dog's looking up the tree like, what the hell are you doing up there?
Why, the black lab with his tongue hanging out, smiling. You know how they can do that. Like, what's this game?
you expect me to climb a tree? I don't know how to climb a tree. So I'm thinking, okay, when's the last time I climbed a tree? And it basically, I believe the last time I climbed a tree was when I was building a tree house for my boys.
Yeah,
and but I had a ladder to help me.
Right.
Okay, because there are climbing trees and there are non-climbing trees.
If you don't have like branches to deal with,
exactly,
then you have to shimmy up there, and that's pretty much the only method.
And the tree's got to be the right circumference for you to shimmy up the thing, and you got to have enough core strength to get up there and do it, and all that sort of
thing. Taking exfoliation to a new level.
Exactly.
Last time I climbed a tree was about 5 years ago. I was below 300 pounds. And I went apple picking with my kids, so they give you that 4-foot wooden ladder from 1922.
Right, yeah, I know.
You climb to the top of that and throw 1 foot up onto the next branch about 4 feet off the ground.
Yep.
Last time I climbed a tree, the last time I will climb a tree.
You're not going to be climbing trees anymore.
No.
Okay, so I'm thinking, okay, I climbed the tree, but I had to help to get up to a branch with a ladder. And I'm thinking, usually when you're out walking your dog in the woods, you're not going to be carrying a ladder with you.
Right, and if you
how the hell did she do it?
Yeah,
she had to shimmy up the tree.
And you don't have time to kind of assess the tree. You're just running away from a pack of coyotes. I don't know. This woman's like Superman. I think she might actually have.
Well, that is incentive to get up a tree.
Yeah,
you know what
I mean, really, the thing you shouldn't do is run away from a pack of coyotes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like the number one thing to not do.
Oh.
So
keep that in mind.
Okay.
Know. So we decided what we need is an education on how to climb a tree.
Okay.
At 7:10 this morning, we have done the research on this. Now we will teach you how to climb a tree, okay?
I'm going to try it out later.
Okay, it's going to be good. We'll have video on that. In the meantime, Hank is here. And Hank, Sox did it again.
Yeah, you know what? They blasted their way to victory last night over at Fenway Park. They were lucky enough to avoid the sweep. The final score was 6-4. And J.D. Martinez came through again. He had a two-run home run. He's got 12 on the year. He's got 36 RBIs. And then the bottom of the sixth inning, Xander Bogaerts kind of blew it open.
High fly ball. Forget about this one. Way, way back. Past the light standard and out of here.
Bogaerts has 6 home runs. He's swinging the bat very, very well since coming back from that injury. So Sox avoid the sweep. David Price gets the start against the Orioles tonight. Meanwhile, Blake Swihart, very talented hitter, can't seem to put him anywhere. His agent has finally asked the Red Sox for a trade. You know, we'll see what happens. Meanwhile, Celts will take their 2-0 lead out to Cleveland. You're going to have to wait until Saturday night to watch the game, though. This NBA, they get, you know, they'll play 3 games in 4 nights, and then they'll take 3 days off. It's kind of weird.
TV.
Cavaliers guard J.R. Smith will not face further punishment for that hard foul on Al Horford in Game 2. A couple of Celts up for NBA awards. Jason Tatum, one of 3 finalists for Rookie of the Year. Brad Stevens, finalist for Coach of the Year, as he should be.
Mm-hmm.
And the Patriots will be inducting former left tackle Matt Light into the team's Patriots Hall of Fame.
Okay, coming up next, ladies and gentlemen, the Brian Bellbuster for today.
That's right. It's Kyle's birthday, and he's treating himself to front row tickets to Buffett at Fenway. I called him with a little problem.
I purchased the premium tickets, like the most expensive tickets, and I'm going to be behind the pole now.
Yeah, it's kind of out of our control. Really, the band, you know, wanted to put this inflatable slide. I mean, I could probably get you like a, you know, a parrot.
Did you say a parrot?
Yeah, I don't know if you'd be
interested. You're offering me a live parrot?
Yeah, I mean, you could pick it up after the show.
I don't want a parrot. What am I going to do with a parrot?
Which word do you hear?
Lauren. Lauren. Wally. Wally.
105.7 WROR.
Hello.
The Brian Bellbuster. Mornings on the 50s. The Lauren and Wally Show. 105.7 WROR.
You know what Kyle's going to do for his big birthday?
What?
He's going to go to his 50th Jimmy Buffett show.
You're
at Fenway Park.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what his wife Molly told me. And we thought, well, we should really call him and mess with him.
Hello?
Hi, trying to reach Kyle.
This is Kyle.
Hey, Kyle. Tim from Ticketmaster here.
Hi, Tim. How's it going?
Pretty good, thanks. You got tickets for the big Jimmy Buffett Fenway show, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a good show. Great play. Have you seen a show at Fenway yet?
Oh, yeah. I've been to a few. But this is my 50th Buffett experience, so it should be a good one.
Wow. You are a real parrot head.
I sure am, yeah.
Excellent. I see you're kind of right up close, right up to the front section there, huh?
Yep. Front row seats. My wife, after years of trying to get the front row seat bugger to spend the money on it, she finally succumbed, and I splurged a little extra for the front row, so I'm really excited. I thought it was something nice for my 50th, you know.
That's pretty good. Boy, I do have some bad news. Yeah, Fenway is, you know, a unique venue, and unfortunately, Jimmy has asked us to... The band is actually installing kind of a giant inflatable water slide. So we need to move the section where you're going to be sitting. So that section's actually going to have a giant water slide in it.
Okay, so you're just going to... I'll still be in the front, though, right? You'll just move me back a bit?
No, the seats all down front have already been sold. So really, the people in the section behind you are going to be front row now. Mm-hmm. So we have seats. We could probably put you in the front row of, like, the right field box, kind of behind the pesky pole.
So... You're telling me I purchased the premium tickets, like the most expensive tickets, and I'm going to be behind the pole now.
Yeah, it's kind of out of our control. Really, the band, you know, wanted to put this inflatable slide. I mean, I could probably get you like a, you know, a parrot, you know.
Did you say a parrot?
Yeah, I don't know if you'd be interested.
You're offering me a live parrot?
Yeah, I mean, you could pick it up after the show.
What am I going to... I don't want a parrot. What am I going to do with a parrot? I don't want to...
Excellent pets. You know, they have a very long lifespan. I didn't know if you knew that. You're a parrot head. I didn't know if you knew anything about parrots.
At least give me, like, if you're going to move my section, at least give me the difference in ticket price or something. Can I get a refund or can I get any sort of compensation for this?
That's kind of out of our hands. And, you know, actually, I don't know if you have any plan, you know, parrot heads. As everyone knows, you know, the parrots and everything. I know I offered you a parrot, but I don't know if you're even aware of this. There's the Kansas City incident.
I have not, no.
They're trying to keep it on the down low a little bit, but Jimmy has actually, ever since this Kansas City incident, he's come down with a really severe case of ornithophobia. So he's actually afraid of parrots.
Oh, my God.
There was this incident in Kansas City. He actually almost lost his finger thanks to a parrot. So we aren't allowed to let people in that are wearing any feathers or, you know, anything that even looks like a beak is banned. Anything with an avian theme is banned now from the venue.
Are you out of your mind? This is his whole brand. This is why we go to the shows. This is like...
That's why they're trying to keep it quiet, you know, because with the whole parrot head thing, it's really been a difficult stretch for Jimmy, you know?
This is ridiculous. You're kidding me.
You know what, Kyle? We are kidding you. This is Brian Bell from Lauren and Wally Show. Your wife Molly called and wanted to wish you a happy birthday and a happy, you know, Jimmy Buffett 50th show.
Oh, my God. See, I knew from the second you said you were from Ticketmaster that something was wrong, and I just started freaking out. People are looking at me through the window. I am well, I'm pacing furiously.
Enjoy your birthday. Enjoy the show. And thank you for listening to the Lauren and Wally Show on WROR.
Oh, thanks, man. You're the best. Molly, I'm getting you back.
Absolutely. We can help you with that.
Oh, good. I'll be in touch.
Got someone you want us to call? Tell us who at the Lauren and Wally page of WROR.com. The Brian Bellbuster. Mornings on the 50s. 105.7 WROR.
So we are extremely concerned about escaping coyotes now with that Saugus episode of the lady who had to climb the tree to get away from the pack of coyotes. And it's a great picture of her, a great picture she took of her dog sitting at the base of the tree looking up at her like, hey, what are you doing up at the tree? Why can't I come up there as well?
Yeah.
So we're thinking, okay, the biggest problem is, how did she get up the tree? Because it did not look like a good tree climbing tree. It didn't seem to have any lower branches, so we figured she had to shimmy up a tree. So we decided we have to do research for you this morning to tell you exactly how to climb a tree in case you happen to be surrounded by a pack of coyotes. And the amazing thing is you're not going to believe the first thing you have to do. So the research has shown that to climb a tree, here's what you do.
It's not easy, you guys.
Of course not.
I mean, I never knew how difficult. First of all, if you can reach the lowest branch, do it. Grip it with one hand and then wrap your arm around the trunk. Oh, you're going to get cut. Place your feet on a sturdy gnarl, a gripped gnarl, or grip the sides of the trunk with your calves and thighs. And
yep.
Then if you need to jump up to grab the branch, do so right next to the trunk. It's crazy. If you have strong legs, you can climb trees with the lower, like with a high lowest branch. You run with moderate speed at the trunk.
Yeah.
Plant the ball of your dominant foot on the tree.
Gotcha.
Push upward against the tree while jumping with the other foot. Already I'm lost.
Okay. This might be a good argument for not wearing Crocs right there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. No,
like okay. One of several hundred.
Okay. I understand. Okay, so you're actually going to, the first step is to run up the tree.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Boy, I don't feel like that would end well right there.
Right there. But sometimes you just don't have the opportunity to have that low-hanging branch. That's going to be.
If you do have, you know, coyotes chasing you, you probably have a pretty good head of steam going and adrenaline.
Yes.
So that's good.
An incredible incentive.
Yeah.
To reach that lowest
branch. Okay, so you
reach
that lowest branch, you grab it, throw your arms up to catch the branch, use one arm to grab the trunk and grab the branch. Then this is what you're not even up the tree. You're like just hanging on and they can nip your heels. Now you have to pull yourself up so that both biceps and forearms are resting on the branch.
Okay,
you know,
I got you.
So you're kind of like, oh, this is nice.
I'm dangling.
And then you have to swing and lift to get your elbows up over the branch or all the way to your lower stomach. Already I'm dead. If you have enough upper body strength. And then you have to swing your legs to straddle the branch. This isn't happening.
This is another reason why you should exercise with a buddy.
That's right. Yes.
Leg swing.
Or walk with a weapon.
Right.
You know, I know. I'm carrying something now. Because leg swing. Well, I'm not going to go outside.
You should carry a ladder.
That's right. That's all you need is a ladder. Actually, all you got to do is climb up the ladder and sit on the ladder.
A safety rope.
A leg swing. You grip the branch with both hands, swing one leg up over the branch. Oh, okay. Wrap your arms around the branch so your biceps are on top. Swing your free leg backwards while pressing down with your biceps. This is okay. If you can't reach any branches, try the coconut palm technique until you reach the lowest branch.
Okay.
I've seen that in a cartoon.
Okay, so there you go. You know how to climb a tree now.
Okay, couple of things, though, when you are climbing the tree, once you've managed to get yourself in that weird position that I can't even possibly imagine doing.
Yep.
Grip the branches as close to the trunk as possible. Don't go out on a limb. Don't go out on a limb.
Go out on a limb.
If the branch is less than 3 inches in diameter, do not use it for more than one limb. And if you haven't followed your Weight Watchers plan, don't use it at all.
Thank you. Dave's on the line. Hey, Dave, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great.
Are you a tree climbing expert?
Absolutely not. At 460 pounds, I think it would be easier for me to sit on the coyote.
105.7 WROR. The Lauren and Wally Show, brought to you by Horizon Interiors.
Wow. Good morning. This is the Lauren and Wally Morning Radio Program. It's 17 minutes past 7. Okay, we got Men from Maine episode coming up next. 720 Men from Maine. And it's a golf season. So we decide it's time to get into the golfing episode of Men from Maine. When Lem and Ephus are golfing and they have a little dispute over who hit the hole in what. That's next, right here. 105.7 WROR. Bob Ryan, 725. Can we steal one in Cleveland? Let's get you 720 Men from Maine, and this is all about the golfing game.
Welcome to another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. As today's action-packed drama begins, Lem and Ephus are out golfing. They each hit good tee shots on a par 3. And when they arrive at the green, one ball is lying within a foot of the cup while the other ball is in the cup for a hole-in-one. And we hear...
Oh, my God! I got a hole-in-one!
Oh, no, I got a hole-in-one.
No, 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 I got a hole-in-one.
Well, now, wait a minute. Why don't we check the ball?
All right, that's a good idea.
That's my ball.
No, that's my ball.
I know, it's my ball.
I'm sure it's my ball.
Well, there's Tiger Irons, the club pro. Why don't we ask him to make a ruling?
Okay.
Lemon Eefus explained their quandary to the club pro, who says...
All right, boys, who was playing the Titleist?
I was.
Who was playing the Titleist 3?
I was.
All right, one last question.
Okay.
Who hit the orange ball?
Join us again soon for another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine.
Yeah.
Right here on the Lorna Wally Morning Show.
Oh, I'm so excited. This is what I've been waiting for ever since we got this series started with Cleveland. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Thursday morning. It is time for your Bob Ryan report with Mr. Everything himself. Bob Ryan, legendary sports writer for the Boston Globe. He's on everything. He's on ESPN. Well,
yeah,
good morning, Bob.
Ryan, around the horn.
How you doing, Bob?
Good morning, Bob. I'm doing very well.
Good, good. Okay, so first things first. The after game one loss by Cleveland to the Celtics of the Garden, the man himself, LeBron James, indicated that his concern was absolutely zero. Where do you think his concern is this morning?
Oh, maybe one on a scale of 10. It should be about an 8.5 and on a scale of 10, because a lot of things have been taking place that he may not be able to control. The Celtics obviously are deeper, younger, quicker, have more versatility on defense, and are better coached. And he gave it a maximum effort in Game 2, as we knew he would.
He did.
And he went out and he got 21 points in the first period. He was proactive. He wasn't being a conciliator. He was being a antagonist. And he made it happen, and it all looked like it was going according to plan, and they had a good first half. And it couldn't sustain it. The Celtics made their adjustments, and he got 42 points, and didn't matter. They still lost. And that's got to be a little, worrisome to everybody else, you know. Because generally speaking, when a game like that for him means guaranteed victory. When a game like that does not produce victory, they have to be worried.
Can they take one
or
both in Cleveland?
Of course they can. But three, I say this, one of the most predictable events in all of our sporting culture is that game three in hockey or basketball will generally be won by the home team. Whether it's 0-2 or 2-0 or 1-1, Game three is the first home game for this team. Their crowd is generally very, 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 very up for it. The role players in basketball traditionally play better at home than they do on the road. The stars are generally more even keeled, but it's the role players who make a difference a lot of times. And generally speaking, I am saying that I'll be very, very, very incredibly pleasantly surprised if the Celtics win game three. Now, once that's over and you take a deep breath and you look at what you did and you analyze it technically, game four, that's a lot more winnable game. So I think they have an excellent, I say they got a 65-70% chance of winning game four and about a 20-10% chance of winning game three.
A little like the Philadelphia series.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, check history. It's just the way it is. I know I'm always, anyway, I've seen it too many times. I'm putting nothing now. Having said all that logic, throw logic out the window with this group.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
group is defying logic. This group defied logic from the first 5 minutes of the season when Hayward went down and they went off and they won 16 straight. So, this group just is, I really believe this. I tweeted this the other day. I've been watching the Celtics since 64 here in Boston in person, and this is the fewer, more lovable, or rootable teams than this one.
This is my top
five Celtic teams that I love rooting for.
Absolutely. That's
hey,
great.
Bob, let's talk a little bit of the Red Sox. 6-4 win last night. J.D. Martinez, great. Bogarts. What's going on with the pitching staff?
Well, Sale, it was a very exasperating outing. I started off the game, so I was there last night. And I said, he's got to go seven tonight, got to save the bullpen. And then if the pitch count mounts and he's getting all these three-ball counts and he's uncharacteristic walking guys, and they're fouling pitches off at a prodigious rate, I said, well, all right, he's going to have trouble going six. And, of course, he winds up going five with a lead, but with 102 pitches in five innings. That's a 180-pitch extrapolation for nine innings. That's unacceptable. He must be really furious with himself today. I mean, he must have really been frustrated coming out of that game. He had good stuff. He's had nine strikeouts, but he didn't have what we call command in the strike zone. He was behind all the time. So to get some of those strikeouts, he was coming back from 2-0 and 3-0, which means he's consuming pitches. It was a very frustrating evening. It put a great strain on the bullpen, and they did a commendable job and got and it protected the lead. As for J.R. Martinez, he's talk about earning your money. He's everything he's supposed to be and more, and we're really thrilled about that.
Do you think that Carson Smith actually threw his glove harder than he threw the ball the other night?
Well, you know, this is I've heard some lame excuses. You know, we've heard a lot of them. You know, there's a lot of dog ate my homework things we've heard over the years. But this thing, but I hurt my arm throwing my glove, and now blaming that overuse, and you look at the statistics, and it's just ridiculous. It's so far from the truth. You know, he said, I'm saying to myself, who wants this guy around? If this is the way he is, get him out of here.
Really?
I don't care. I mean, this is ridiculous. And I know, and I'm lying. Good for Alex Cora, because he's just so human and honest for most time. I mean, he didn't. He came back and said, no, I'm sorry. He should have said something to us. I'm glad. I mean, he stuck up for himself. He should. And for Dana Lavangie, the bullpen, the pitching coach. And because they have treated every pitcher with caution from day one in spring training. And, and Carson Smith coming off surgery particularly. So I don't want to hear about it for this guy.
Okay. Well, nice. Just lucky he didn't throw a video game.
No,
okay.
Really. You know, now there's always some drama. Now he's going tonight or next game in Baltimore against Baltimore at Price. Well, and that's just inherent drama every time he takes the mound.
We'll see.
Bob, I know Saturday is a big day for everybody. So where are you watching the royal wedding?
that's very good. If I do, it'll be from, you know, my traditional chair in the living room. I mean, I'm a kid. My wife is actually going out to watch with my family, my granddaughter.
Yeah.
And they're going to be watching it. They'll be ready at 7 o'clock. So, you know, and of course, it is the pre. The big question to me is Will's going to show up, because Will's is supposed to be at the FA Cup final as the president of the England Soccer Federation.
Oh. Oh. Okay, good to know.
And traditionally, the president is there for the Grand Cup final, but there is a matter of his brother's. He's supposed to be standing up for his brother.
Yeah, that's
okay.
True.
These are questions you need to answer.
You didn't know about that.
I did not.
But Google FA Cup final / Prince Wills, and you'll see.
Yeah, they're serious about their football.
Wills is the best man.
Yeah, Wills. Okay. I mean, he's letting down a nation. No, I don't know.
I know. Well, there's your Bob Ryan report this morning. And, Bob, do you have any, shameless plugs for us?
Yeah, I'm still in the only podcast. I will be on Around the Horn. No, not next week. So my Bob Ryan Boston podcast and tomorrow morning the Sports Reporters podcast with Mitch Albom, Mike Lubica, and Bob Ryan.
Whoa.
Okay,
excellent.
Very good.
Excellent.
Have a good one. See you soon.
Friday morning.
Okay. See you at the royal wedding. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, coming up next on the Lorna Whaley Morning Show.
It's 1985 on CBS again. You won't believe what show they're bringing back.
Oh,
she's
Animal.
Got that right.
Paul Wonder.
The Lorna and Whaley Show, 105.7 WROR.
Here we go. Okay, Dirty Laundry is on the air here from WRR's LBF. Where are we starting today?
It's brought to you by Citizens Bank. Toto, the band, did a really awesome thing. It's 1985 on television this next season. But first, I want to let you know that Elton John is going to perform at the royal wedding this weekend.
Oh, thank goodness.
He's been close to the royal family for a long time now, staying at Princess Diana's funeral. Not sure if he's going to be performing at the church ceremony. I doubt it, but maybe the reception later on.
Is he going to rework Candle in the Wind for him?
I hope not.
That's a real upper.
It's going to be Crocodile Rock.
Oh, okay.
He originally had shows booked in Vegas this weekend, but he had to reschedule because you know what. And then baby news, Chrissy Teigen, John Legend, had baby number two, a little baby boy. She announced it on the Twitter by saying, somebody's here. And then that baby boy joins 2-year-old big sister Luna Simone Stevens. And that's a really cute name. All right, you guys, it's 1985 on CBS. I'm kind of excited,
but really kind of
freaking out a little bit because we just don't have any more ideas. Is that the deal?
Nostalgia.
I know, but okay.
Yeah.
CBS unveiled their schedule for next season. It includes a Magnum PI reboot, the Murphy Brown revival. A reboot. Do you know the difference between a reboot and a revival?
A reboot's a new show based on the old show, and a revival is they bring back the old show.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
You've been
so
studying
I've been studying.
TV Guide. Good
and by
for
the way,
you.
On the Magnum PI thing, with the all of the eruptions happening in Hawaii, they're going to have to change it to Magna PU.
I thought they were just going to call
what
it
I did there?
Magma PI.
You've also been reading your stupid joke books, too, huh?
I've been reviewing stupid joke books, too.
I want Moonlighting to come back.
Oh, that's a good one.
But
that's not coming back. But Murphy Brown is coming back. It's going to star Candice Bergen, who's 72 now. I guess they passed. This is what I'm really surprised by, and I'm bummed out that they CBS passed on the reboot of Cagney and Lacey.
Oh, that would have
been surprised Sarah by Drew. That.
No, classic. What's wrong with you? That's a great show. Okay. You didn't like that show?
No, I didn't like it.
That's because it was women in charge. I know it. Anyway, they passed on that. I guess they got your memo. And finally, Toto, the band.
Oh,
Not the little dog.
Well, you do have to actually explain that to a lot of people. They did a really, really nice thing. They're on tour. I had no idea. And the Toto and their crew collected all the free toiletries from their hotels on their European tour. And when the tour ended in Glasgow, they donated them all to a local women's shelter.
Very nice.
And you know what? I've never thought about that because sometimes you have, they're just going to throw them out anyway.
Are you supposed to really take those with you?
I do,
or is
especially
that stealing.
No, I don't steal them, but if they're there, they're mine for the taking because I pay, especially at a fancy hotel.
Yeah,
I take the fancy stuff. I still have some from a trip like 4 years ago.
If the housekeeping card is sitting in the hall, you grab an extra handful.
No, you cannot do that. That's
okay,
not
definitely.
No.
I just wanted to check on that.
But anyway, good for Toto. And something to think about next time you go away.
Coming up next, though.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
105.7 WROR. The Lauren and Wally Show. This is Grand in 60 Seconds.
It is time now for the tense part of the program. Someone has the actual opportunity to win $1,000 in cash. But they got to be smart. They got to be quick. They have to be decisive, as we believe our player this morning is. His name is Matthew Sullivan. Matthew Sullivan is from Groveland, Massachusetts. He's an ER tech at a hospital, but not just any hospital. He's an ER tech at the hospital in which Lung Boy Brian Bell was born.
That's right.
Really?
Yeah, can you believe it?
What hospital was that?
It used to be Bon Secours, Methuen.
Holy Family now, right?
So it's Holy Family, yeah. I don't think Matthew was working there when I was born.
I don't think so either.
Good morning, Matthew, and welcome to the Laura Waddy Show. How are you doing today?
Good, good.
Good. You feel pretty confident, right?
Yeah. Let's go with that.
Okay. Okay, this is what's going to happen to you, Matthew. This is the drill. LBF is going to ask you 10 questions within 60 seconds. You'll hear the ticking of the timer in the background. You can say pass at any time, skip a question, move on, and then come back to it if we have time remaining at the end. You'll hear the buzzer at the end means time is up. If you get all 10 questions answered and answer correctly within 60 seconds, we give you $1,000. Are you ready to play?
Ready to go.
LBF, you ready?
I'm ready.
3, 2, 1, go.
Which famous novel featured Joe, Meg, Beth, and Amy March?
Jeez, pass.
A caterpillar changes to what?
A butterfly.
The only U.S. state that begins with the letter P is?
Pennsylvania.
True or false, sleeping burns more calories than watching TV?
True.
In this nursery rhyme, who went to school with a lamb?
Pass.
In baseball, what is the player called who crouches behind home plate?
Catcher.
In Greek mythology, who turned all that he touched into gold?
King Midas.
A couple celebrating their crystal wedding anniversary has been married for how many years?
Jeez, 25.
Which is largest, a megabyte, a kilobyte, or a gigabyte?
Gigabyte.
How many feet are in a fathom?
1,200.
Okay, which famous novel featured Joe, Meg, Beth, and Amy March?
I don't know, A Little Woman.
Oh, wow. Boy, you pulled that out of your stethoscope right at the end there.
That was really good. I can't believe you got Little Women. That's excellent.
Okay, how many did we get right there,
buddy? The English teacher would be pleased. Okay, yeah. Got
two,
seven
three,
right.
Four, five, six,
all right, you
seven.
Missed Mary Went to School with a Little Lamb.
That was an easy one.
There are 6 feet in a fathom, and a couple celebrating their crystal wedding anniversary has been married for 15 years.
Okay, now you know. Matthew, for you, we have a consolation prize.
Good job.
First of all, going to give you an oil change, absolutely free. VIP tires and service, $59.99 value, redeemable any location, Massachusetts to New Hampshire. You can visit VIPauto.com for all the information on this. Plus, we're going to send you out to the movies. A pair of passes to see Melissa McCarthy and Life of the Party. It's in theaters now. So tell us, Matthew, what are your big plans? You're getting up early to watch the royal wedding on Saturday?
Yeah, no, I guess I'm going to the movies now.
Okay. Have a great
good
time.
Job.
Hey, thanks a million for playing the game. Thanks a million for being a member
of
the
Mason. Thank you.
Okay, have a great day. Everybody else, your chance to play depends on you. You got to register. Log on to WROR.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for three things you need to know today. This is the educational segment of the program, and here's our chief educator, LBF.
Well, here's the deal.
This morning. Okay.
Yesterday it was a nice day, and you guys all know that I'm an indoor cat. Like, yep. I like the indoors.
You hate nature.
It's just a lot. It's a lot to take sometimes. But you know, it's the nice weather. The sun is going to set after 8 o'clock until August, I guess, starting tonight.
Today's the first day.
Yeah, the pressure to go outside is unbelievable, especially after a lousy winter. So yesterday I venture outside, and let me tell you, it's a mistake, and 25% of Americans agree with me. All right, so I go outside. It's beautiful. I have like about 30 minutes to take a walk in the beautiful weather.
Right, yeah.
I ran into first of all, I ran into nice people, but it was like I had to talk to them. So I'm like, I got to go because I got to be someplace within the half hour, blah, blah, blah. So I felt guilty because I was talking to people but rushing them because then I thought they were thinking I was rude. So that stressed me out.
They already know you're rude.
Yeah, we knew that. So
two,
you can just move away.
There was some sort of random dog that was had been released from its yard, and there were like a couple of people outside trying to wrangle it, and it was like, and I like dogs, but you know, I don't trust a dog that's like, you know, running around. So I had to avoid the dog, which stressed me out. Then I had to cross the street twice, and people didn't let me cross the street because I'm not 22 anymore. And then I had to worry about ticks, mosquitoes.
You are whining.
And sunscreen.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was like, it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it to go outside. It's just too much. And I read the statistic that made me feel better because 25% of Americans hardly ever venture outdoors. Ah! Because they know the truth.
But 75% love it.
No, they don't love it. They're just forced to go outside. They got to do stuff.
They like to get hurt and bitten.
Exactly. Actually, I guess federal surveys have found that indoor air can be 2 to 5 times more toxic than outdoor air. But leisure time is now synonymous with television viewing and not going outside and enjoying nature. And you know what? We're right up there with Britain and Canada because all of us are super smart. 23% and 26% of them stay indoors. People who go outdoors all the time are the Italians.
You know what kills the bad air? A lot of wine.
I like an al fresco. You know what? I don't like eating outside because the sun gets too hot and then all of a sudden you're sweating and you're like,
wah, wah,
and it's like one of those things.
Wine,
do you know what I mean?
Wine, bitch, complain, unbelievable.
Okay. I'm just informing people, but if you want to characterize it that way, you go ahead.
Okay, no problem.
Why don't you tell your happy story?
Okay, now here's the happy story of the day. I have my nomination for the person who's next in line to be the head of the line to burn in hell forever. This is a Brooklyn veterinarian.
He's cutting in front of you.
Okay. He's cutting in front of me. He's a veterinarian from Brooklyn, and he thought he had a pretty good new plan on how to smuggle drugs into the country. He was smuggling drugs into the country inside the bodies of puppies. And I'm thinking, you know, that's pretty low.
I don't get it. I don't get how he thinks that my story is whining, but your story is psychotic.
But I have discovered the best way to tell the puppies that have the drugs inside. You know how dogs sniff each other's butts? These snort each other's butts.
Wow.
Thought I'd pass that along to you this morning. In the meantime,
what magazine have you been subscribing to?
Okay, how much is Matt Lauer's divorce going to cost? What do you think?
A lot of money.
We will reveal coming up next.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
Well, there must be some kind of misunderstanding. So, looks like, this is according to People Magazine. People Magazine has said in their latest edition that Matt Lauer's marriage is over and that the divorce is imminent.
I think it was over a little
bit. Yeah, I think it was over. Yeah. She probably couldn't get over that secret button to lock the door to his office. So they say it apparently is over now and it's going to be very, very expensive. Do we have any guesses on what the estimation is of how much this is going to cost Mr. Lauer?
$20 million.
$20 million. Okay.
That's what he made in a year.
Okay.
Yeah, that's going to be more than that.
You think
$100 million.
You think so? Bingo. You're absolutely correct.
Whoa, all right.
$100 million.
What do I win?
$100 million. Well, you don't get nothing. You get visitation rights.
You know, I don't feel bad for him at all. I don't think that, like, I think she deserves every single penny of it. And the thing is that that's chump change to him. Even if she gets half of everything he has, and that's $100 million, he still has $100 million. And for the things that he did to her and to the people at his workplace, he should have $0.
Okay, do you think he's going to end up getting sued by anybody for those transgressions at the workplace?
Even if he does, he has enough money to keep it in the courts until the day he dies. And that's what's really sad, because, you know, this is like, it's fake money at this point, and it's just, it doesn't mean anything. Give me the real jerk who only has like 50 grand in the bank.
Okay.
And see what we can do to him.
Thank you very much.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.